So, I once again welcome all of you to the Best Business Ever conference call. So, now we will be moving on to our next session. Before moving to the next session, I hand over the call to Shriveshwar Shyam Prabhuji for a brief introduction about Mataji. Hare Krishna Mataji. Dhanyavad Pranams Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Shyam, Shriveshwar Shyam Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanavad Pranam, all glories to Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Her Grace Nitai Sevani Mataji was born in a Gujarati business family. Her family later moved to Hyderabad in 1984, where Mataji was closely associated with ISKCON Secunderabad. She later took initiation from His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj in Atlanta in 1988. She has recently graduated from GBC College as Zonal Supervisor in March 2019. And this certificate was Chakravarti awarded by none other than the most revered His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. Her goal is always to remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. That's why she immerses herself deeply in all services, heading with divine touch, school, festival coordination, congregational preaching are just some of them. She shares the responsibility of the smooth running of ISKCON Vizag with her husband, Samba Prabhuji. Despite her heavy responsibility, she travels worldwide, delivering thousands of lectures and immersing millions in Krishna consciousness. And we are very grateful that she has chosen Ram Navami before Ram Navami Day to glorify Lord Ramchandra. Hare Krishna Mataji, back to you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much Prabhuji for that brief introduction about Mataji. So I once again welcome all of you to the call. So now we will be moving on to our next topic, that is meeting of Bharat with Lord Ramachandra. So this is the pre-Ram Navami celebration, as we were saying already. Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Dandavat Dandavat Pranams. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable time and association, even in your busy schedule, and to enlighten us on the topic of meeting of Bharat with Lord Ramachandra. So, last time when you came, I couldn't forget that the glories of Ramanujacharya, which you were speaking on the call. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your association. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I'm audible?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, to all the devotees at Bhakti Sangha group, please accept my humble obeisances. Vancha Kalpataru Bhayascha Kripa Sindhubeva Chapatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Ananta Koti Vaishnavrindaki Jai. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Vartaman Guru Vrinda Ki Jai. His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. So, just to get in the mood, just we do 4 or 5 minutes Kirtan, and then I'll start with Ram Katha. Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram Sita Ram Jaya 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 Sita Ram Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram Sundara Vigraha Megha Shyam Ganga Tulasi Shaligram Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram Bhadragirishvara Sita Ram Bhagata Jana Priya रघुपति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीता राम जानकी रमणा सीता राम जय जय राघव जय रघुराम रघुपति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीताराम जानकी वल्लभ सीताराम जय रघुनंदन जय सियाराम रघुपति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीता राम श्री राम जय राम जय जय 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 राम लोकाभिरामं रणरङ्गधीरं राजीवनेत्रं रघुवंशनाथं कारुण्यरूपं करुणाकरं त्वं श्रीरामचन्द्रं शरणं प्रपद्ये श्रीरामचन्द्रं शरणं प्रपद्ये सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान की जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय So tomorrow is Ram Navami and we are all in the mood of Ram, Lord Ram, and hearing his glories I don't know about there, but here in South India there will be Sita Rama Kalyanam, marriage of Sita and Ram, and so many festivities around the world in all the ISKCON temples, and I'm more so in the mood of Ram because I was also giving a series for Richmond devotees on Nam Ramayan. So the whole meditation and consciousness is about Ram, 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 Ram. And it's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. So that is why I thought that today's topic, we should take up something from Ramayan and prepare our consciousness and try to take some lessons from Ramayan. Ramayan is such an amazing scripture because we can relate it to it very conveniently, and so many lessons. And because when it comes to Krishna Leela, there are lots of controversies and we need a lot of philosophical jnana to understand that, but when it comes to Ramayan and Lord Ram, it's pretty simple and much more we can relate to it. So Ramayan has wonderful pastimes and so many amazing devotees and leelas. And if you see the Navavidha Bhakti, which is spoken about by Prahlad Maharaj in Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 7, we can see that Ramayan has so many Vaishnavas who represent these different limbs of bhakti, this different Navavidha Bhakti. If you see, Ramayan can boast of, you know, the best devotee representing Kirtanam, that is Valmiki. Because Valmiki wrote Ramayan, and now millions and millions of people are benefited from the Ram Katha that he has written, and that way he has kirtanam, he has done kirtanam, he has glorified the Lord such a wonderfully and helping so many, coming in consciousness of Lord Ram. So kirtanam we see Valmiki ji in Ramayana, and Shravanam we see Hanumanji when Hanumanji was asked to go back with Lord Ram to Saket Dham. He said, I prefer to stay here as long as Ram Katha stays here. And wherever Lord Ram's Katha is spoken, we know Hanumanji is there, right there, sitting and hearing Ram Katha. So Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, we see how Mother Sita was doing such wonderful Smaranam despite of whatever situation that she was put into. If she was in Ayodhya or if she was in forest or she was kidnapped by Ravan or whether she was in Ashokvatika or she was later banished by Lord Ram into the forest. No matter what situation came in life, but she was in constant smaranam of Lord Ram. So Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. Pada Sevanam, we see how Bharat Maharaj did such a wonderful job accepting the wooden sandals of the Lord on his head and thereon, performing his duties in separation of Lord Ram. And then we see Jatayu who did Atmanivedanam. He just gave himself, though he was not, he was an old vulture, 60,000 years old vulture, but he came out of his comfort zone and he fought with Ravan and he did everything possible in service of Lord Ram. So the best example for Atmanivedan in Ramayana is Jatayu. And then we see Archanam, how Shabri may not have done Archanam with some Agarbatti, Dupa, lamp or incense, but the Naivedya, the Boga that she offered to the Lord is glorified in the three worlds because it was so much out of her, from her heart, language of love, giving, heartfully giving those berries to Lord Ram. So Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Archanam, Padasevanam, Sakyam, we see how Sugriva, though so many temptations came on his way, because even when they had crossed the ocean and reached Lanka, Ravan had tried to contact Sugriv on various occasions to tempt him that I will give you whatever you require, but you leave Lord Ram's association and don't help him, be on my side. But Sugriva stays strong no matter what distractions come his way, but he doesn't leave Lord Ram, and he's, amazing friend. He loves Lord Ram in Sakya Bhavam. And then we see, of course, Dasyam, Vandanam by Vibhishan, Dasyam by Lakshman. Lakshman did such wonderful service to the Lord. I mean, he sacrificed his own family life, and wherever Lord Ram was, no matter what situation, he never left Lord Ram. So we see like this, all the Navavida Bhaktis are represented such wonderfully in Ramayana. But today, we will be specifically talking about Bharat Maharaj, who represents Padasevanam. And why so is, today we want to meditate and focus on how wonderfully one can render service to the Lord, and how service in separation is so exalted. In fact, when Valmiki was writing the Ramayana and he was also narrating it and explaining it to his students, at one juncture they ask Valmiki, Guru Maharaj, we are confused, whose service is more glorious, is it Lakshman or Bharat, because both have done such wonderful service. So whereas Valmiki Muni does explain the, that how Vapu Seva and Vani Seva both are glorious. But in when we go in detail, we understand that when Lakshman renders service, at least he gets some reciprocation from the Lord because he's associating with the Lord. So whenever he's rendering service, he can see the beautiful face of the Lord, the smile of the Lord, and he gets some kind of a reciprocation and satisfaction. But when it comes to Bharat, he's all alone there 14 years in Nandigram, and he doesn't even know if the Lord is going to come back. Is Lord okay? Is Lord even, recognizing his service? But he keeps doing it, and he keeps doing it sincerely, and that is amazing. Because love in, service in separation is so exalted, and it's so difficult to perform. We see how devotees, when they used to come to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 4 months of Chaturmasi, and when they had to go back, they were crying and they wanted to stay back with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they still went back to their respective houses to continue the preaching mission. We see even in case of Srila Prabhupada disciples, when they used to meet Srila Prabhupada at Gaur Purnima festival or at Vrindavan, they never wanted to leave Prabhupada's side. They wanted to be with Prabhupada. They hardly had Prabhupada's association, but they still, for Prabhupada's sake, they went back to their respective countries or whatever, the Guru Datta Desh, wherever Srila Prabhupada asked them to go and serve Srila Prabhupada in separation. We see even the gopis, when they were asked about their pain, they said that how painful it is to remain alive in separation of Lord, but they're still keeping their bodies alive because they're worried when if the Lord comes back from Mathura and finds out that they're all dead. They don't want to give that pain to him, so they were somehow surviving in his separation. And we see the same thing with Mother Sita, because Valmiki Muni had mentioned to Lord Ram, you know, in the Uttarakhanda, when they all reunite and Lav Kush meets Lord Ram, then Valmiki Muni explains to Lord Ram that how Mother Sita used to take just a little grains just to somehow keep her body alive, because she was worried that if at any point of time Lord Ram summons her and ask her to come back to Ayodhya, and if he finds out that Sita has left body in the forest, it'll give him pain. So just to keep him, just to please him, she was somehow keeping her body alive. So it is so difficult to serve the Lord in separation or to be separated from the Lord for those who have tasted the, association of Lord once. But somehow Bharat does that. So, and it's difficult. And we see in Bharat's case, he went out of his way to do it. It's not that it was in his comfort zone, because he had to go against his mother. Usually to break family ties is very difficult. But we see all these glorious devotees, whether it was Prahlad Maharaj who had to go against his father, or whether we see Vibhishan who had to go against his brother, or we see Dhruva who had to go against his family and then go to the forest, or we see Bharat Maharaj who had to go against his mother. All these glorious devotees, they had to break those family ties and remove all the obstacles in their path and somehow serve the Lord. So we see that Bharat Maharaj, though his mother wanted him to be the king, he just goes against his mother's wishes and then tries to reconnect to the Lord who has been, thrown out of Ayodhya. But Bharat Maharaj goes to the forest and tries to get the Lord back. Now, the pastime goes like this, the meeting of Bharat and Lord Ram. Lord Ram, while he was in this exile, he was in Chitrakoot, and then for some time he was in Dandakaryana, and then he left for Panchavati. And at Panchavati, Surpankha comes, and then, at Dandakaranya, when they were in Dandakaranya, Surpankha comes, and then there is a fight with Khara and Dushan. And then when they migrate to Panchavati, then Ravan comes and kidnaps Mother Sita. And from there on, they go to Lanka, and then they come back to Ayodhya. So now this pastime which we are talking about today is learning the lessons from Bharat Maharaj's life. So what exactly happens to Bharat? He just comes back to Ayodhya from his uncle's house, and he was summoned by the ministers urgently. And when he comes back, to his horror and shock, he sees that his father is dead and his brother is on exile and his mother is the cause of all these things. And he's also considered to be co-conspirator, and he's also considered to be the cause of it. And everybody is having suspicion on him, and they're looking at him suspiciously, and he's in such a bad situation, but somehow he keeps himself cool, and then he clarifies and he, explains or pours out his heart to the people, and then again tries to, cool down himself and understand what should I do from this situation there on. Now I've been put in this situation by my destiny. Now what should I do? So that is one thing very interesting, because in our lives also sometimes we may have to face so many reversals, but not losing a cool, and then on trying to chalk out what can be done next. So we see in Bharat Maharaj's life, when he comes back, he's completely caught unprepared, but he still keeps his cool, and then he thinks, okay, what next? So then he decides, all right, whatever happened has happened, now I'll try and get Lord Ram back to Ayodhya. So then all the preparations are made, and everybody in Ayodhya is so attached to Lord Ram. So they all tell Bharat, we also want to come with you. So even the old people and the young children and the cattle and the women of the house and every single citizen of Ayodhya wanted to go, you know, and get Lord Ram back. So Bharat is very kind to everybody. He says, yes, everybody can accompany me. So they all get the carts ready and the chariots ready, and everybody is, you know, getting on the chariots and carts. And then the three royal mothers and the royal priest and the ministers and different soldiers and the religious counselors of the kingdom, everybody get together, and Bharat Maharaj is at the helm of everything. He's trying to arrange things, and then they all depart on one fine day to go and meet Lord Ram and then convince him and bring him back. Now, this is a situation, everybody is very happy. Now, they all, you know, climbed and they're about to leave. And suddenly a thought comes in Bharat Maharaj's mind, and he thinks, is it fair that I go on this chariot with this big procession, and my brother is like, you know, he's like a hermit, you know, he moving around in the forest, and I'm just dressed in this royal garments and sitting on this chariot. So maybe what I should do is, maybe I should also walk and go, not on the chariot. So he removes his slippers and he just walks, starts walking in front of his chariot, and everybody is following him. Now, when they see Bharat in such a humble attitude, everybody feels, is it fair that we sit on the chariots and carts and Bharat walks like this? Maybe we should all walk. So they all get down and they all start walking. And then when Kaushalya observes this, that even in the young children and the old people, they've all started walking, she immediately calls Bharat Maharaj and says, stop this, you can't walk. You get up on the chariot, and then that's how you should go, because otherwise everybody is following you in that way and they will be put into inconvenience. So Bharat Maharaj again gets back into the chariot. So all the while he was thinking that, where did I do the mistake? I had the right attitude and I wanted to, you know, approach Lord Ram in a humble mood, and I didn't want to accept this luxury, and why am I forced and put into this situation? So then he understood that my mistake was, maybe I shouldn't have walked in front of the chariot making a show of my austerity. Maybe I should have, you know, gone behind everybody where nobody would have seen me, and when the procession goes, I just go behind and I start walking. So I thought that is one life lesson that we can learn from this incident, is that sometimes even in our bhakti life, when we make a show of it, then Maya attacks us more strongly. And sometimes we do it very unconsciously also, sometimes consciously we make a show of it. Whether it's our Chaturmasya vows, or whether it's Ekadashi, or whether there is any other special austerity that we are doing. And of course, sometimes we do give it a name of for preaching purpose, for inspiring others, but in our heart of heart, we should at least understand ourselves that, is it purely for preaching purpose, then it's all right. But if I'm getting any subtle happiness by that, then we should be careful and draw a proper line between it. When are we doing it to inspire or preaching, or when are we actually doing it because it satisfies us? And if we want to have a check on this, what we can do is, maybe we can actually do some austerities, take up some vows, do some extra chanting, and not tell anybody about it. And then check how much happiness are we getting out of it. And then one time you do it, and then you tell people about it, and then you check what's the happiness level. So are you happy even if you haven't shared it with anybody? And even if you have shared it with anybody, whatever it is both giving you the same happiness, then we are in the safe zone. That means we are purely doing it for preaching purpose, and there's no such happiness that we are experiencing by sharing it with others, whatever austerities that we are performing. So then we know we are not in the danger zone. But if that's not true, and by not sharing it with others, we're not getting that much pleasure in doing it, then we understand we are in the red zone and we need to put a break somewhere. So this is what happened with Bharat Maharaj, because he advertised it, even though in his case it's unintentional. but it did had consequences. So sometimes we very unconsciously, you know, see you, I mean, I every time give this example that you've gone to somebody's house and they offer you some tea and coffee. And we just say, we don't take tea, coffee in ISKCON. But that's one way of saying. The other way is, you know, sometimes we brag about it. It's been 25 years, I haven't touched tea and coffee. I mean, I never. So, you know, we never understand, but unconsciously we do mention how many years it's been that we haven't taken tea, coffee. Or I always follow Ekadashi, at least. I don't remember breaking Ekadashi at least last 25 years. So like that, sometimes we don't know. Subtly, maybe we are actually advertising about whatever we did. But the problem is, just like a frog makes a lot of noise, then the snake knows where to catch the frog. So same thing, we make a little more noise and the Maya knows where to catch us, and she will catch us. So better to, you know, keep cool and keep mum. So again, now, as I said, it's for preaching or it's giving you happiness. With that, we need to check our own things. So this is what happened with that's why you see the you know, in the olden days, they used to say, if you have a lot of money, you shouldn't tell about it, because if you, whatever you hide increases. That's the whole logic. That's why the parents never share how much wealth they have with children. Otherwise, the children will simply start wasting money. They'll say, oh, my father has a lot of money. I think I can spend a little more this, a little more here, a little more here and there. So they hide, it increases. Similarly, when you hide anarthas, it increases. When you hide your whatever woes or study, it'll increase. Again, all said and done, if talking about it is inspiring us, sometimes it may not be for preaching. Sometimes it may also be just to sustain ourselves in Krishna consciousness. Because if we are on the beginning stage, we really want to share with somebody, I completed my 16 rounds. And then we get appreciation from that person. Oh, you did it. And then that makes us happy. So that's very good. But we can't keep remaining in kindergarten. I mean, at one point we need to go to class one and then class two. And then we need to complete it. So yes, in the beginning, it's nice because we have just taken up to Krishna consciousness. And we're looking forward that I just want to share with somebody. I did it. I mean, I did it whole 1 year. I've completed my rounds and I did my Ekadashi. And I won that smile from my mentor or counselor or devotees around. And that inspires me to continue another 1 year. So that's nice, but the whole point is our source of happiness should be Krishna, and our source of happiness, it's bhakti itself should be the source of happiness, and not that we are doing bhakti because we'll get this which is giving us happiness. So ultimately it happens, but consciously also we need to move one step forward and then one step forward. So in case of Bharat Bharat, this is what happens, and he understands, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I should have just walked behind the chariot instead of making a show out of it. And then finally he reaches in interiors of the forest, and then he meets Nishad Raj, that is Guha, and who is a friend of Lord Ram. And he's not that happy to see Bharat Maharaj, and he does not hide it, and he's very straightforward about it. And he feels maybe Bharat is in cahoots with his mother, and probably he wants to kill Ram or something like that. So he expresses it. Then Bharat Maharaj, you know, again clarifies that, no, I just want to bring Lord Ram back. And then it becomes all the more proven when Nishad Raj asks Bharat Maharaj to take rest in his residence, in his palace. And Bharat Maharaj says, no, I want to take rest where Lord Ram had slept. So Nishad Raj, he takes Bharat to that place, that tree under which Lord Ram and Sita had slept. And then Bharat cries out like a small baby, making loud noises. Oh, did my brother stay here? Oh, how unfortunate I am. Just for me, he had to, you know, tolerate such austerity, sleeping on the ground, you know, in such a situation. And Mother Sita had to suffer so much. Oh, I'm such a wretched person. For me, everybody is suffering. So when he hears all this, Nishad Raj becomes all the more confident that yes, Bharat is, you know, not what he had thought about. And then he starts helping Bharat Maharaj. He says, okay, don't worry. And, you know, we'll all go together and we'll somehow convince Lord Ram to come back, and I'll guide you further how Lord Ram had gone. And I thought this was also a very important lesson, because everybody was misunderstanding Bharat. it was not one person or two person. He had to keep doing that exercise with every single person till he reaches Lord Ram finally. Because first he enters Ayodhya, and all the Ayodhya Vasis, all the Ayodhya residents are suspicious of Bharat. And then the ministers are suspicious of the Bharat, and the family members are suspicious, and then Mother Kaushalya is also suspicious. Nobody likes him. And then he had to clarify. And then finally, when they are all convinced and he enters in the forest, here Nishad Raj and all the forest dwellers are not convinced about Bharat. So, and that will keep going till he finally reaches Lord Ram. And I thought, that is what happens with us in our bhakti life. You know, there may be so many people who will be misunderstanding us. And it's not going to stop. It will keep happening till we finally reach Goloka Vrindavan one day and we finally meet Krishna eye to eye. It's going to happen. We can never at any point of time say that now I am okay. That particular devotee, that particular community, I had an issue. But here, nobody misunderstands me. No, everywhere, because this material world is made like this. This is Dukkhalayam and Ashashvatam. It is temporary and full of misery. And there will be always some people who misunderstand us. There will be always some people who are not satisfied with us. And at any point of time, if we think that we are going to make sure that everybody is happy with us and everybody is satisfied with us, then we are in an illusion, because that will never happen. We can never ever satisfy everybody. There will be always somebody who is not happy with us, and we shouldn't get disappointed by that, and we should keep moving, and we should keep moving further. Many times I tell this funny story of this father and son who had bought a donkey. How they bought a donkey and they were walking side by side, and people kept criticizing. They're so such a fool they are. When they bought a donkey, they're supposed to sit on the donkey. Why are they walking alongside the donkey? So they sat on the donkey. And when they sat on the donkey, people said, so cruel. They both are sitting on the poor donkey. So they got down, father got down and asked the son to sit. And then people said, oh, this is Kali Yuga. The son sits happily and the old father walks. How cruel. So then the father sat on the donkey and the son got down, and people said, oh, the father is so cruel. This is child abuse. You know, the child is walking and the father sits comfortably. They got completely frustrated what to do. And then they tied the donkey by the hind legs and were carrying, you know, on a wooden pole on either side. And people said, what a fool, the donkey is supposed to be used, you know, you're supposed to sit on the donkey, not that you carry the donkey. And finally the father and son decided that this donkey is giving us all the criticisms in the world, better we leave the donkey. Whereas they had just purchased it from the market, they just put the donkey there and they ran away. So this is our life in material world. If we become devotees, people will criticize. If we don't become devotees, they will criticize. You go to temple regularly, they'll still criticize that you're not taking care of your family properly, and why are you in the temple all the time doing service? And if you don't do, then you still get criticism that you're not doing that much service as much as this Mataji is doing or that Prabhuji is doing. So there is always a problem. If you go to Mayapur for Yatra, there will still be a question. If you don't go also, they will say you are not going regularly to Dham Darshan. So every time, whatever you do, you can never say that, you know, for this particular thing, nobody is going to criticize me. Somebody will criticize, or somebody will be displeased with us. This is what happened with the Bharat Maharaj situation. Somebody or the other was always looking at him suspiciously, but nevertheless, he kept himself strong and he moved further. So finally, he moves further without, much feeling disappointed why he misunderstood. Because I personally, I'm seeing that 16 rounds chanting is not a big issue. Eating prasadam is not a big issue. Tea and coffee is not a big issue. Onion garlic also is not a big issue. Mangalarti is not a big issue. But interpersonal relationships is a very big issue. He said that and she said that and he said that about her and she misunderstood me, but that was not my intention. And we get into so much, and then what will he think if I do this? You know, Hindi it says, sabse bada rog kya kahenge log. The biggest disease that we suffer from is, what will this person think about me and what will that person think about me? I'm just reminded of this one joke I'll tell you. There was this man who was a drunkard and a chain smoker. So he goes to a sadhu, and the sadhu guides him, look, this is not correct. You should not smoke. You should not drink. You should not break the four regulative principles. Why shouldn't I do it? If you do that, then you will go to hell. Oh, is it? But my father is doing it. Oh, he's also going to go to hell. Oh, really? But my brother also does it. Oh, then your brother is also going to go to hell. Oh, but my girlfriend also does that. Oh, she's also going to go to hell. So then this young gentleman says, oh, in that case, Sadhu Baba, I don't think I'm going to stop doing all this, whatever activities I'm doing. He said, why? He said, because when everybody is going to hell, I'll be lonely in heaven. I better continue these activities and go to hell, because at least I'll have a company there. So that's our problem. We're so worried about what everybody else is doing or what everybody else says or thinks about us. So whereas Bharat Maharaj, he didn't consider that, and he moved forward. And then he meets Bharadwaj Muni. So Bharadwaj Muni guides him further. And Bharadwaj Muni says something very special. Bharadwaj Muni tells him, I was always wondering that if you do bhakti, then you get to see Lord Ram, or you get to see the Lord. So fruit of bhakti is seeing the Lord. Then what is the fruit of seeing the Lord? Because everything has a fruit. So doing bhakti, you see the Lord. Seeing Lord, what is the fruit? But today I got the answer. So Bharat Maharaj says, what is the answer? So he says, seeing the Lord, the fruit of seeing the Lord is that you get to see a pure devotee of the Lord. So here I am, Maharaj Bharat, I'm seeing you, a pure devotee of the Lord. So I thought that was very beautiful, because by doing bhakti, we get Bhagavan, and by getting Bhagavan, we get Bhakta. That means getting the association of Bhakta is more glorious than getting the association of Lord himself. And time and again, we see, whether it is in the scriptures or whether, when we hear these pastimes where Dhruva Maharaj saw the Lord eye to eye, but still, what did he ask the Lord? I want association of devotees. And then we see Prahlad Maharaj sees Lord eye to eye. And what did he ask? I want to serve Narad Muni, my guru. So we wonder, even if somebody gets this opportunity to see the Lord eye to eye, still, why do they ask for association of devotees? Because we are asking association of devotees so that we can get to Lord. But people have got to the Lord also asking association of devotees. So how does this work? So then we understand that if somebody is in the association of the Lord himself, we are not sure whether we will be constantly remaining so. There is every chance we may fall down. But we're in association of devotees, we can never fall down. They will not allow us to fall down. Now, practical one example to prove it. You stand in front of the altar, and what you are seeing in the altar is not a murti or a pratima which is made up of marble. It is Shakshat Bhagavan, Rajendra Nandan Bhagavan is standing in front of you. But there are still chances where even though you are seeing the Lord eye to eye, you may be thinking about the fan, or it's not working. Or you may be thinking about the green peas and in the fridge, whether you have soaked them in water or not. Or maybe you may be thinking about your footwear, which you just purchased yesterday, that you have kept outside the temple. Hope nobody steals it, because in India, that's a big problem. You go to temple, all chances that your footwear will be stolen. So you are in eye to eye, you are seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you're right in front of him. And then you may be thinking so many things in your mind. But when you're in association of devotees and they're speaking katha, there is nothing but you thinking about Lord, because the katha is going on in your mind, is continuously on the katha. Oh yes, this is what happened, and then this is what happened, and then this is what happened. And constantly we are just remembering the Lord. So in association with Lord, we are not sure, but in the association of devotees, we are always sure that we'll be remembering Lord. And the other part is, Lord is chanchala. Chanchala means you can never be sure. One moment he's with you, and in the very next moment he leaves your hand and he's gone. So we cannot hold him and keep him. But his devotees, they keep us in Krishna consciousness by reminding us of Krishna constantly. Because we are just normal devotees, but even elevated devotees like gopis could not physically hold Krishna. He just left from Rasalila. But what they could do is they could have him in their smaranam. And they could, and they all started enacting all the leelas. If we read that Gopi Geet pastime, enacting the leelas of the Lord together, they were and reminding each other of Krishna. This is what they were doing. But that is why you see Raghunath Das Goswami says that at any point of time, if I see Krishna in Vamsivat under a, you know, under a tree on the bank of Yamuna on a moonlit night, I'll not go to him. I don't want to risk it because by the time I go, I'm not sure he'll be gone from there. But if I see Radharani standing next to him, then I'll take this risk because then we are sure he's there. So that is with Krishna. And even we see, Sur Das Ji in one of his very beautiful bhajan. Actually, this incident happens in his life when he's out somewhere. And we all know Sur Das Ji was blind, so he can't see. So he's always, in his bhajans and constantly singing and, happily traveling from one place to another. So on one occasion, he's just moving around and because he's blind and he couldn't see properly, so he falls in a dry well. Now, that's some part inside of the forest, so not many people pass through that way. So he's stuck in there for days and he's happy. He's just singing Lord's bhajan. And finally, Krishna comes, gets inside the well in the form of a small boy, 7-year-old boy, holds the hand of Sur Das and then somehow brings him out of the well. And then while the Lord is holding Sur Das' hand and they're just walking, now Sur Das, he's blind, but he's smart. He's a devotee. So he holds the hand and he says, I think this is you, Krishna. Is it not? Is this Krishna? So as soon as he starts telling this, Krishna just leaves his hand and, goes away. He just disappears. And then Sur Das, he sings this very beautiful line. He says, Hath chhudai ke jai rayo ho, hruday se jao to manu, hruday se jao to manu. So he says, oh, you are leaving my hand and running. Oh, you think you are very smart. Of course, this is not a fair game because when you play the game, both the opponents should be equal. I'm just an old, fragile man and you are a young boy and you want to play this game and you think you can escape and then I'll run behind you and catch. But let me tell you one thing. Even if you think you're very smart, haath chudai ke jai rahe ho. Okay, fine. You just left me. But I'll think that you are a winner if you actually succeed in running away from my heart where I have hold you very tightly. Let's see how you can run away from there. Then I'll think you have won the game. Not that you just leave my hand and I'll consider you the winner. Try to leave my heart and go and then I'll see because I have hold you tight in my heart. So yeah, that's the problem with Krishna. You never know 1 second he's where, but when we are in association of devotees, we are sure they will be in Krishna consciousness and they'll make sure we are in Krishna consciousness. So this is what happens. And then Bharadwaj Muni, explains what happened, how Lord Ram came, and then how Lord Ram asked Bharadwaj Muni, where should I stay? He was very innocently, he was asking all the sages for direction. Where should I stay in this forest? What will be, a right place to stay? And Bharadwaj Muni tells Lord Ram the 14 places that Lord Ram actually stays. So elsewhere, I've spoken in details about this, how he says that place where the devotees pray together, that place where the devotees worship Tulsi or worship, devotees or worship their guru or give importance to guru more than Krishna, those who worship, like that he gives some 14 places, those who do regularly Shravanam, those who use their eyes, nose and tongue and ears in Krishna's seva, those who go for Tita Yatras, those who are non-envious, those who don't offend devotees. And like that, the whole list goes in 14 places where Lord Ram resides. So Bharadwaj Muni mentions that I had asked Lord Ram to go further to so-and-so place and I'm sure you can see Lord Ram there. And meanwhile, what happens is, as he's having this conversation with Bharat Maharaj, see, those days, these munis and rishis were so powerful that just by their yogic siddhis, which they were not interested to use, but if they want, they can create mansions and they can create all the facilities. So Bharadvaj Muni wanted to render some service to Ayodhya Vasis, because they are Ayodhya Vasis, they are Dham Vasis, they are Lord's own people. So Bharadvaj Muni immediately creates the whole, beautiful facilities, so mansions and nice gardens and parks with fountains and scented waters and delicious prasadam and nice accommodation. And even the apsaras come down from the heaven and they're all dancing, and there are musical nights, and there are all sorts of facilities which one can't dream of. He creates everything inside the forest for the Ayodhya Vasis convenience. But however, Bharat Maharaj does not accept any such service, and he just stays aloof like a forest dweller. He just puts a bark, tree bark around as clothes, and he mats his hair with the gum, and he just takes some simple roots and fruits, and he does not accept any such luxury. But what happens here is, because they were there for a couple of days, because it's a huge army and all the civilians, and it's thousands and thousands of people are there, so it's not easy for them to just go off in one day. It's like Navadvip Mandal Parikrama, just they stopping at one place, have tents, take rest, and then next day start walking, and then next day start walking. So like that, they're just going very slowly. So but here then, in the place of Bharadvaj Muni, because he wanted to render service, they were there for a few days. And now what happens? Some of them get so intoxicated into this whole facilities that they were being provided, that they decide they don't want to go further. They just want to stay here. This is beautiful. This is heaven. This is what we wanted. I mean, that's it. They get distracted. But some of them did not lose their focus. And they say, no, we want to go further. This is not what we came for. We came to bring Lord Ram. So they accompanied Bharat Maharaj and they started moving further. And those who got distracted, they just kept staying there with whatever facilities. And now somebody may ask this question, so but then why didn't Bharadvaj Muni withdraw the facilities and, you know, allow them to go? No, it's not like that. The fact that somebody has attachment for Lord Ram, and the fact that they took a step out from their house to get Lord Ram back, that itself is so auspicious and so pious, and that itself, you know, makes a person accumulate so much sukruti and pious karma that, you know, for millions of life, he can still keep enjoying those facilities. But of course, at one point, it may get, you know, it may come to an end, but that much sukruti comes when somebody is in meditation of Lord Ram. And this is what is happening with the devotees. So that's why, you know, we see that not that every devotee who has started their devotional process will go back to Goloka Vrindavan, because there are so many distractions. Because whatever that little bit service or seva we do, actually you get so much in return and so much in return. And then sometimes when they're not able to finish the process, then they are born in Suchinam, Srimatam, Gehe. In the next life, they are born in the aristocratic family with all the beauty and all the intelligence and all the fame and all the opulence. And then there are every chance that they may get stuck, you know. So that is why, you know, and Brahma is so careful. He says that I don't want to be Chaturmukha Brahma who is against Krishna. I better be born as an insect, but I should be born in a devotee's house where I get devotee's association, so that I don't forget the focus of life or the goal of life, that is to go back home, back to Godhead. So it can always happen. So, you know, even when we are on the way to Goloka, we'll be passing so many planets, and then if we find something really interesting and we may get stuck, this is so beautiful, but one has to keep the goal. No, that's not my destination. So when we are in the train also, so many stations come. But we know I have a ticket to Vrindavan, and that's where I want to get down. Even if the puris and samosas at Gwalior or are, you know, very nice, hot and tasty, but we know it may be nice, but my destination is Vrindavan and I want to get down there. So this is what happened with the people, because Bharadvaj Muni arranged all these facilities and they got mesmerized by it. And this is what happens in our Krishna conscious life also. When we actually come to the temple as new devotees, we had a different goal. We just wanted to be good devotees and we wanted to learn and we wanted to know how should I improve myself and how should I become a better devotee? What is wrong with me? What are my bad qualities? And I want to improve on that. And that's the whole goal when we enter into a community. But over a period of time, we forget and we start thinking, how can I help this devotee to, you know, remove his anarthas, and how can I do this and how can I do that? But the whole point is we should not become a barber who shaves everybody, but he doesn't shave himself. So he has a big beard. So he may be shaving others, but what about shaving your own beard? So yeah, there's no harm in helping, you know, if we can, others in Krishna conscious life and to go further with their anathas, but then we should also shave our own beard and have introspection and make sure we're also improving and, you know, getting rid of those anarthas, because that's what we actually join for initially. But then sometimes we just lose focus and we get into different direction, and then there are hurts and there are misunderstandings and there are expectations, and then we just simply go off into some other direction. So this is what happened to them. They just forgot what they came for and they stayed back, and rest of them moved ahead. Now what happens in the next stage? Indra starts making trouble. Now why Indra makes trouble? Because Indra is getting pretty worried. Lord Ram has incarnated because he has to kill Ravan, and for that he needs to stay in the forest, and for this, and this whole pastime has to unfold, and Mother Sita has to be kidnapped, and all this thing has to be happen. But Bharat is going to spoil our whole plan because he is going to convince Lord Ram, and Ram will be convinced and go back to Ayodhya. Then what happens? So I better make a disturbance for Bharat so that he doesn't reach Lord Ram. So he sends thunderstorms and you know, so many things are happening and making their journey so difficult. Maharaj Bharat and the Prince Bharat and the other people are not able to move forward. It's raining like cats and dogs, and it's windy, and it's making their travel so difficult. So this goes on for a few days. So then Brihaspati comes and explains to Indra, what are you up to? What are you doing? So, no, I'm just helping Lord Ram, because Bharat may go and then convince him. But he needs to do his pastime. So I'm making sure Bharat doesn't even reach there. Then Brihaspati says, oh, come on. No, this is not what's going to happen. Don't worry. Even if Bharat goes, Lord Ram is not going to be convinced. So kindly stop it and let Bharat go and meet Lord Ram. So when Indra is convinced about it, he stops it. And I thought this is one very important point. Even in our lives, the closer we get to the Lord and the closer we get to Lord, Maya starts all her forces on us and removes each weapons one by one to fight with us. And then she just checks on us how focused we are and how determined we are. And if we somehow stay determined and we are somehow focused and we, you know, with utsaha, dhairya, you know, with nischaya, we just stay there. Then Maya withdraws and Yoga Maya comes in picture. And then she starts helping us. And then how we start moving very nicely, you know, in Krishna consciousness. So the whole point is to somehow stay focused. And that staying focused and, you know, is possible only when we are in association of devotees, because they give us the right strength. Otherwise, we may lose the battle with Maya, because she's very strong and we need some help. Actually, if you see in the animal world, sometimes there is a, you know, fight between a snake and a mongoose. And usually the mongoose wins the war, whereas the snake is more powerful and has poison, and the snake can even bite or bit mongoose. But why does mongoose win the war? Because what mongoose does is tries to fight with the snake in the ground, home ground, means the places where there are lots of herbs, especially this particular herb. So every time when the mongoose is fighting with the snake, it takes breaks in between and goes and smells that particular herb that gives, you know, rejuvenates the mongoose and gives more energy to again fight back with the snake. But the snake doesn't have any such thing. So after some time, it loses its strength and gets defeated. Whereas mongoose keeps rejuvenating itself by taking this particular herb, which gives it a lot of energy. So same thing with us is like Maya is like the snake and we are like the mongoose, and this fighting is happening. But what we need to do is we need to have those herbs with us. That means we have association of devotees and scriptures and prasadam, and also we keep taking it and we keep taking a dose of it, and then that rejuvenates us and re-energizes us to find, because definitely we are not more powerful than Maya. Maya is much more powerful, but only thing is we can take help, and we can take help. So this is what happens, and finally the rain stops and Bharat Maharaj moves further. Now here what happens, as Bharat Maharaj is approaching with the army, there's a lot of commotion and some kind of a noise, and these Lord Ram and Lakshman, they are prince and they are trained like that. So they understand some army is approaching, because they can understand by the sound of it. So Lord Ram asked Lakshman that you get atop a tree and just see if somebody's approaching us to attack us or what, you know, just check what's happening. Why is there so much noise coming? So then Lakshman gets up atop the tree, and there he sees the flag of Ayodhya. So he knows Bharat is coming there. So he immediately gets down with all anger and furious with red eyes, and he says, Lord Ram says, what happened? He said, that wretched Bharat is coming, you know, and he's coming to kill you. And I know that. And even before he lays his hand on you, I'm going to slay him. And he's just coming with his mother. I know that. So he keeps talks so many things, is, blabbering. So then Lord Ram very coolly smiles at Lakshman and says, looks like, this forest life is irritating you. Are you regretting your decision of coming with me? Do you want to go back to Ayodhya? Then we can do that. I can ask Bharat to change places with you, and you can go back, you know, and Bharat can serve me. Or is it that you have some personal issue with Bharat? If it is so, I will request you, please forgive him. So what is disturbing you? Now Lakshman is surprised. Why is Lord Ram talking like that? You know, and he says, no, it's not like that, my lord. He said, I know my brother Bharat, and I know why he's coming. I'm sure he's coming to request me to go back to Ayodhya. So, of course, this is what happens. And finally, when Bharat comes, and when Lakshman comes to know that he made a mistake in judging Bharat, he goes to Lord Ram and he asks him, my dear brother, why am I so short-tempered? So Lord Ram says, you are emotional. So Lakshman asks, is it wrong to be emotional? So Lord Ram says, no, emotion is an ornament, you know, in life. So then what am I supposed to do? Then Lord Ram says, it's just that you need to select the right emotion, which enhances the higher side of you, and not the lower side. So emotions by itself is not wrong, but just pick the right ones, which will help you grow, you know, which will bring out the good in you. So that's the thing. And I thought that was a very beautiful point. So as devotees, yeah, you know, we are also emotional, but it's just that we need to pick up the right emotion. And how do we know which is the right emotion, or how do we pick the right emotion? Actually, relationships help us a lot to pick up the right emotion, and especially if we are having relationship with the right person, with the nice person, with one who is more advanced in Krishna consciousness than us, then that relationship will bring out the higher side in us. Now, how is that possible? I'll give you one example from the Ramayana. When Bharat and Shatrughna came back, and they came to know all these things, and they knew that mantra was the cause of this whole problem. So Shatrughna gets all angry, and he actually, drags mantra by her hair and shakes her violently and is about to hit her. And Kaikeyi is shouting for help, and mantra is shouting for help, and Bharat is just passing through. And when he sees Shatrughna doing it, he says, hey, stop, don't do that. And Shatrughna says, why shouldn't I? Because she is the cause of all the trouble. And then Bharat says, if we do that, then we will displease Lord Ram. And that's not our purpose. If Lord Ram is displeased, then he'll not come back to Ayodhya. He'll be upset with us. Is that what you want? No, I don't want that. Then just leave her. If it was okay, I would have myself do that to my mother. You know, I'm feeling that urge to, you know, but I'm still not doing it just because I want to please Ram. I don't want to displease him. So he says, it's not that whom we are angry with, it's about why are we angry, or for whose purpose are we angry? So it's not that they're angry with mantra or Kaikeyi. The whole anger is because what has happened to Lord Ram. So they're seeing things in a wholesome, bigger perspective. So what has to be the solution is important, not that because this person is caused, let me take out all my anger. That doesn't help. So it's that it's what is important is who they were angry for, not that who they're angry with. So they just leave it. So same thing with us also is that if we have a higher purpose in life, then we can give up the lower emotions. Or if we have relationships with people who are more advanced in Krishna consciousness than us, then somehow to please them, we will bring out our higher side and we will somehow manage our lower emotions. But if we have the wrong person in our life, then it will work vice versa. Like it happened in the life of Karna. He was a nice man, but he wanted to please Duryodhan. So because he wanted to please Duryodhan, he brought out the wrong side in him. The lower side of him came out. So if you just have elevated friendship, then the higher side of you will bloom. It will come out in a nice way because you like this person. You value this relationship. You want to please this person and you will bring out your higher side to please this person. But if you have the wrong friendships, then you are doomed. So this is what Lord is talking to Lakshman. There is nothing wrong to be emotional, but just that you have to pick up the right emotion. So yes, if we just need to have the right relation. I mean, if we have the right friendship, it will bring good in us. If we have friendship with the Lord, it will bring best in us. So not only gurus or mentors or devotees. So when we want to please the Lord, then our best comes out. Because if we are tempted to break the four regulative principles, or if we are tempted to do something wrong, at the same time we have a relationship with Krishna, then we will be like, oh, if I do this, this will not please Krishna. If I do this, this will not please Krishna. So every time, every step that you are taking, Krishna is in the center, and that brings out our good side. But if we don't have the right relationship, then we are doomed. So this is what happens. And finally, Lakshman gets down from the tree and all this conversation happens. And then finally, Bharat approaches. They're far off and they're walking, they're coming. Now when they come, Lord Ram and Mother Sita are inside the cottage. Now, usually the impulse would be that go there, open the doors of the cottage and say, brother, I'm here. Just like it happens in a Bollywood movie. I've come here to take you. But nothing like that Bharat does. He just waits outside patiently. The doors of the cottage are closed. Lord Ram and Sita are inside. And he just waits outside, sitting and crying, and patiently waiting for the Lord to open the door. And then Lord comes out, opens the door, and then he meets Bharat, and then they embrace each other. And I thought that was also a very beautiful lesson that we can understand from this thing in this pastime. Lord is not sadhana siddha, he is kripa siddha. So it's not that we can make some mathematical calculation. I chanted 16 rounds for this many years into 365 days. That means according to this 2048, September 25th, he has to give me darshan. Because I have chanted whatever is supposed to be. There's no mathematical calculation. Maybe somebody like Dhruva Maharaj got the Lord in 6 months. And maybe somebody like Vishwamitra did 60,000 years but couldn't. So we never know. I mean, there is no such fixed calculation. It's just that we need to keep doing endeavor and we need to keep making endeavor, because the doors of Goloka Vrindavan open from inside. We can't go and open it. And like the ISKCON temples, the altar opens from inside. We can't go and open the altar. It has to open the curtains. The pujari opens the curtains and then we see the Lord. So we can keep trying and we can keep trying. And ultimately, it's up to Lord when he wants to show his mercy. The devotee needs to be patient and he can't be demanding. And Bharat never said that, I walked for so many days together and so much trouble I took, and come on, come out from the cottage. He just waits patiently and he waits. So we just need to wait and Lord will show his mercy. So we have to give our 100%. And then we can't be like those monkeys. You know, if you ask a monkey to plant a tree, you know, what the monkey will do? It will plant the seed. And then every 10 minutes, it'll keep digging again and see, oh, it's not sprouted yet. Oh, it's not sprouted yet. Oh, it's not sprouted. It's not. You need to dig and put this seed and keep pouring water and keep pouring water. And yes, it will take its own time to sprout and come out. You can't keep digging and seeing what's happening. Then it will never happen. So we can't like chant and then, oh, it's still not happening. It's still not happening. No, I mean, we need to keep chanting and keep chanting. And it's not something that's going to happen overnight. And we can't question that, why am I still having trouble with anarthas? Why am I still having trouble in concentrating of my chanting? Why am I still having anger? Why am I still envious of other devotees? Why am I having so many problems? So we'll still have the problems. The only thing is we need to keep watering and we need to keep watering. And yes, slowly the it will sprout and, you know, the tree will come out and then the fruits will come out and the flowers will, it's going to happen. We need to just have patience. We can't be over demanding. I'm just reminded of this one last example and then I'll close it here. There was this one man who was working for an office. So he had this 9-to-5, you know, job. So at 5 o'clock, when he's just about to leave, his boss calls him and says, oh, I need to pay urgently to one particular company. Can you just make his accounts ready and let me know how much money I need to pay? I need to make the payment urgently. So this man, you know, he sits up to 7:30 in the night, makes everything, and then he's ready with whatever payment needs to be made. So he writes the check and then he goes to the boss and says, sir, I'm ready. You can sign the check. And he says, I'll do it tomorrow. Now let's close for the day. I'll sign it first thing in the morning, but tomorrow, not today. So he says, all right. Now what, boss is always right. So next day in the evening, again, as he's about to leave, the boss again calls him and says, hey, hold on. You know, I need to make a payment to this company. Can you just sit and make the account? So this time he comes with a blank check and he says, sir, can you first sign it? Only then I'm going to check the accounts, because that's what you did yesterday night. I made everything ready, but then you didn't sign on the check. This time you better sign on the check and then I will make the accounts ready. And the boss says, I'm not going to sign on the blank check. You better get the whole accounts done and then I'll decide whether I want to sign or I don't want to sign. So this is the thing with Krishna also. You know, I mean, we need to make our endeavor and we need to do all that is possible. And then it's up to him whether he wants to give his mercy, he doesn't want to give his mercy, because he's the boss and we are his servants and the boss is always right. And it's up to his jurisdiction what he wants to do with us. But if we think that he will show his mercy first and then I will come into Krishna consciousness, it will not happen like that. Many times when I ask the devotees on, you know, why you haven't come for Sunday program, you haven't come for, you know, especially the donors or some pious Hindu people who are not so serious in Krishna consciousness, you ask them, you haven't come, Rauji, Mehtaji, Varmaji, what happened? You have not come to the temple. They'll say, Mataji, the Lord has to call na, Mataji, jab bulava aega. When the Lord will call, will come, he has to call na. So I get amazed that when you go to an INOX theater for watching a 3 hours movie, you never waited for the Lord to call you or then I'll leave. You make your own decisions. You make an endeavor and you go out and you watch the movie. But when it comes to something to do with the Lord or Krishna consciousness, you're always waiting. The Lord will call me when the right time will come. Then it, and I tell them, in especially during my classes also, I tell them that you'll have to get up from your sofa and you'll have to keep the remote of your TV. You know, some there you have to switch off your AC. You'll have to get yourself dressed and get your mala bag, put your tilak and take out your car and sit it and fuel, you know, put fuel inside and start the car and, you know, on the way to the temple. Now, if the tire gets punctured and you could not make it to Sunday program, then you can say, or, you know, it's Lord has to, you know, sanction it. Otherwise, how? But you can't sit on the sofa watching an India-Pakistan match and say, the Lord has to call me. Only then I can come. No, you'll have to make endeavors. You make your 10th step. On the 11th step, if you couldn't make it, then you can safely say, I tried, but it's Lord, up to the Lord. He didn't allow me or his mercy is not on me. But we can't, you know, We can't wait for His, because we can't convince our mind that anyway the Lord is not a sadhana siddha, His kripa siddha. So why all these sadhana and why all these 16 rounds? Because if He wants to show His mercy, even if I chant one time Hare Krishna, He'll come and, you know, show me mercy. So what's the point of chanting 16 rounds? So if we keep doing it and we keep doing it, and our sadhana makes Him show kripa. When He sees how hard we are working and, you know, how hard we are trying, and that melts His heart. Something like the small children, when they're not able to walk and they're slipping and then falling, and they get up and they walk, you know, and the father is showing the toy, come, you can do it. And the child is trying to do it. And then again, the child falls down. And then after doing it, for exercising it for some time, then father finally says, okay, looks like he's not going to make it. So then the father takes another four steps and gives the toy to the child. So that's what is happening in our Krishna conscious process also, because there is Krishna and then we are trying, and when we fall down, then we try. But the fact that we are trying melts Krishna's heart, and then He comes, you know, and gives it. But if we don't even try and we sit there and say, you come and give, then that's never going to happen. We need to take that step. So finally, yes, Bharat Maharaj meets Lord Ram, and finally they meet and they embrace each other. And now Bharat starts a set of arguments. I am like a crow, and crow cannot take a position of eagle. Please come and accept the throne. I'm not worthy of this throne. And our father has left, and I'm like an orphan. And according to the scriptures, the elder brother is like a father. So you can't leave me now. You need to come back to Ayodhya and take care of the citizens. And, you know, please accept this. So then to and fro. And then Lord Ram says, now since our father is not there, all the more I need to be in the forest and to keep his word, whatever promise he had made to his wife, and I need to keep it. So both the brothers quote from scriptures, and both of them quote from scriptures, and they're not able to defeat each other. And then finally Janak Maharaj intervenes, Mother Sita's father. He was very widely read and has deep knowledge, you know, of scriptures. And he says, I'm going to sleep on this tonight, and tomorrow morning I'll give a decision. So then next day morning, Janak Maharaj asked Ram, do you love Bharat? Yes. And he asked Bharat, do you love Ram? He said, yes. He said, okay, now I'm going to give the decision. So then Janak Maharaj says, okay, Lord Ram should accept the kingdom. So then Lord Ram says, all right, I accept the kingdom. And then he says, so now Lord Ram has accepted the kingdom. Now this kingdom belongs to Lord Ram. And then Lord Ram says, now since this is my kingdom, I'll decide what I want to do with it. So dear Bharat, can you help me take care of my kingdom for 14 years till I come back? And now Bharat is caught. Said, okay, I'll do it. I said, now please accept this, and now you just take care of my kingdom on my behalf. So Bharat says, all right, but I need some support. So I need your wooden slippers, so that I'll keep your slippers on the throne of Ayodhya, and that is how I will rule Ayodhya on your behalf. And Lord Rama accepts it. And I thought, this is so very beautiful. I mean, doing the seva or accepting it, but accepting it as Ram's property. Now, this is very, very significant, because the moment we accept things as proprietor, now the problem is the moment we think we are the proprietor, we'll slowly try to become controllers. And then after, you know, becoming controllers, we'll try to become enjoyers. And then because we become enjoyers, now we are in this Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi Chakra. And then we keep moving in this wheel of life. So this whole thing is so much connected. So, but the moment we don't accept proprietorship and we say we are servants of the Lord, whole problem is sorted out. So Bhoktaram Yagyatapyasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, that has to be very clear. And Bharat made it clear in his heart and also externally very clear that you are the boss and I am the servant. You are the proprietor, not me. And that was so beautiful. So he takes those padukas on his head, and then he doesn't even go back to Ayodhya. He just stays a little far from Ayodhya in a place called Nandigram, and he lives a life of a mendicant. So all the ministers, whenever they want to have some consultancy with him, they just come to Nandigram and he just, whatever has to be done from there. But he never had royal life. He never accepted royal palace. He was just staying just like Lord Ram. But only thing is, he was like a Kshetra Sannyasi. He was not moving from Nandigram, staying there, protecting Ayodhya on behalf of Lord Ram. And this is so special because usually when you become a leader, you have privileges and you have responsibilities. But the present day modern leaders want to enjoy all the privileges, no responsibilities. But in case of Bharat, he took all the responsibilities, but no privileges. He was not enjoying any facility. He was simply rendering service and he took all the responsibility on his head. So, of course, these Padukas of Lord Ram were also very happy to associate with Bharat. In fact, at one point, they were telling Bharat, this is not fair. You are taking us away from Lord Ram. We want to be with Lord Ram. And, you know, why are you taking us away? 14 years of separation from Lord Ram. And then Bharat says, otherwise, I won't be able to live my, keep my life air together. You know, please, you know, give me your association. I need your association. And then the Padukas say, that is all right. But at least, you know, we were happy to be at the feet of Lord Ram, but now you have put us in this crown and your crown, you put us in this throne and you are worshipping us every day. This we don't like, you know, why are you worshipping us? And because they are Vaishnavas and Vaishnavas don't like to be worshipped. So, and Bharat says, please don't take away this privilege from me, this opportunity from me. This is how I'm able to keep my life air together. So that's how he used to actually worship those wooden sandals every day, you know, and flowers and sandal and camphor. And that's how, you know, in a humble mood, he was serving Lord Ram. So that's what you see, the name of Bharat is also very significant. It says, Bhara Vahati Iti Bharataha. Bharata is the one who is taking all the load. Now we may say, what's the load? But the load is, the load is anything that does not have Ram is a load. You know, like if we have to swim across, we like to wear something light so that we can swim very swiftly. But if we tie rocks to our body, we can't swim. We will be pulled down. So in this material world also, all the opulences are like those rocks. The more we tie all these opulences, actually pulls us down and we can't cross this material ocean or we can't swim. But the only choice is, I mean, we can't do anything about it. We'll have those rocks tied to us because in this material world, we need house, we need money, we need certain facilities. But at least what we can do is, since these rocks are already tied to us, at least we can put the name of Lord Ram on those rocks, then they will float with us. Otherwise, they'll pull us down. That means if we are God-centered and we are Krishna-centered, then it'll be no more bhara. It'll be no more burden for us. And then we can swiftly swim. So that's the name Bharat, you know, because he was bearing that load because Lord was not there in Ayodhya and he had to carry that Ayodhya for 14 years till the Lord comes back. So whether it is Bharat or even in the name of Lakshman, they say Lakshman means Lakshmi Sampanna. So what's the wealth he had? Why he's Lakshmi Sampanna? Because he had the wealth or privilege of serving Lord Ram 365 days a year, you know, 7 into 24, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We see Shatrughna also. Shatrughna means one who has conquered enemies. We'll be wondering what enemies did Shatrughna conquered. We just heard about Lavanasur or some demons here and there, but he had conquered all the anarthas in his heart and was able to serve his brothers in such a humble mood. So all the names signify something, like Lord Ram means one who is a reservoir of pleasure. So like that, Ram, Bharat, Lakshman and Shatrughna, all the names signify their qualities. So that is how Bharat Maharaj continued, and finally he had told Lord Ram that if you come even one day late from your exile, then I'm going to leave my body. But at the same time, Lord Ram was so careful. He thought maybe in 14 years if Bharat has changed his mind and maybe he wants to keep the kingdom for himself, so I don't want to disturb him. So then Lord Ram sends Hanuman at the end of 14 years, go and check what's his mood like. So if he still wants me to come back. So when Hanuman goes, certain versions of Ramayana I read that when Hanuman went there, he actually saw that Bharat had made all the arrangements of giving up body. He was just waiting that if one day late, I'm ready to give up my life. And then when Hanuman introduces, you know, about himself and all, and he sees that delight on Bharat's face, he's so happy that Lord Ram is going to come back. So now Hanuman knows that, you know, Bharat is prepared and he's looking forward to welcome Lord Ram. And of course, then Lord Ram comes in his Pushpak Viman and then spend some time, few days with Bharat there. And then after that, sometime they go to Ayodhya. So this is the glorious, glorious, glorious pastime of Bharat, Bharatji. And we should pray to him this Ram Navami that he should bless us and give that mood of serving Lord Ram selflessly, you know, in the way that pleases him, you know, that service attitude, if he can give us, and how he stayed focused on his goal without any distractions, and how he was ready to give up everything and to serve the Lord, and how he was so strong and determined, and even though people misunderstood him, he continued his journey. And he accepted reversals and accepted every situation in life so coolly. And though he saw that Lord Ram had already left Ayodhya, he didn't lose hope. He made an endeavor to get Lord Ram back into Ayodhya. This is what is happening with us also, with all our anarthas. You know, Lord Ram is going away far from our heart. But when we hear this pastimes of Maharaj or Prince Bharat, we think it's all right, you know, even though our anarthas are pushing Lord Ram out of our heart, we can always make an endeavor to bring Lord Ram back into our heart. Every time that it keeps happening, we can keep, you know, trying to bring him back. And, you know, just like Bharat was successful after 14 years, we'll be also successful someday to actually get him back from exile into our hearts for ever and ever. Thank you so much, dear devotees, for this patient hearing, and hope you have a great, great, great Ram Navami celebrations. Shri Ramachandra Bhagavan ki jai, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji, for that nectarian, wonderful class. It was so wonderful. So, so you started from Shravanam Kirtan Gana with Bhakti, and then I moved on with each and every qualification, the lessons which Bharat teaches us from Ramayana. So it says about the show off, we should not make the show off, and how we can, we will be criticized and misunderstood. And then the association of devotees. So everything was wonderful, Mataji. Hare Krishna, thank you so much for giving your valuable time and association. So devotees, if any questions or realizations, please go ahead. Please raise hands. Yeah, so Megha Mataji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances, Sagar, Shishira Prabhupada, and Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Mataji, such a beautiful class. It was so many points that you brought up that directly hit me. It's like it was just for me, you know, especially this misunderstanding part where you said, you know, we'll always be misunderstood in this world, which is very hard. You know, it's very hard for me sometimes to accept that, even though knowing this fact. But Bharat Maharaj has always taken this and still moved on, stayed focused on his goal to meet Ramchandra, despite all these, you know, distractions of misunderstandings people had for him. Just keep on moving. So that's a great point. And another thing I have a question for is, when you said that we have to not make a show of our sadhana or something to, people. But for preaching purposes, I like the example you gave that we have to test it, whether or not, you know, if it's really genuine or if it's something giving us happiness indirectly. So in that case, I usually send my sadhana card to my mentors. And it's been, you know, a while that I've been doing this, and I continuously do it. So it's not to show, I personally feel it's, you know, because when I have like a bad score or something in my sadhana, they will reach out or they'll make a comment, oh, very busy day or something. So it keeps me motivated to go better and stay consistent the next days, right? Or I explain to them why this happened. So for me, even though it's been a while, like when is that being a show of it, or like, or when do you stop that? Or do you have to stop this? I don't understand the, you know, where do we stop, or where is it a show?
Yes, we can. So I understand your question. So we can keep doing it with our mentors. Maybe we don't need to do it maybe with our co-devotees. Mm.
Okay.
But mentors, yeah, we have to keep doing it maybe whole life, because mm-hmm. it is because they help us every time that we go down, and they keep a check on us.
Right.
And that helps us. Yeah, if we are at all, you know, going somewhere, you know, or we are, yeah, they'll help us. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I also send a sadhana card to, because on the request of a devotee for inspiration purposes, I also send it. So that is not showing or anything, right? Because I didn't choose this, but I do send it to the devotee, one devotee, just for inspiration purposes, because I was asked.
So we just need to be conscious of it, and we just need to make sure that that's not the source of our happiness, or that's what are we getting out of it. And if it's purely for, you know, following the instructions, and we can continue that. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much. It's wonderful to hear you. Keep giving us your association. Hare Bol, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Sudhakar, please go ahead. Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Thank you, actually, for this really beautiful session. It just reminds me about my duties also on the occasion of Ram Navami. Of course, we all forget it. Like, at least for me, I keep on forgetting. By attending this lecture, I think, again, it gives me, you know, opportunity to keep my focus at least on the certain duties. I really thank for this wonderful lecture. Last week also, not last week, before last week also, I attended this your lecture on that Naam Rami, and I like that one also. I have two simple questions, maybe. I don't know, it looks silly, not related to this kata, but can I ask these questions to you or for clarification?
I'll hear the questions and then decide.
Okay. I understand that today also you said that, yeah, you forgot in the beginning to just offer the prayer to the Guru before you started your session. In that context, I had a doubt. For example, when we are offering bhog to the Lord, first we should offer to the Guru, or first we should offer to the God? I'm doing right now offering bhog to the God. I don't know whether I'm doing the right or not.
Actually, we don't offer food to Guru. We request Guru to offer the food to Lord. So we go through him on his behalf. So that's why we chant the Guru mantras first, and then we chant Krishna's mantras. We're not actually offering food to Guru. We're offering it to Krishna only. But only thing is, we are going via Guru. That's it.
Okay. Because frankly speaking, I don't know that Guru mantra I had of it, but I'm just doing like this. I don't know whether I'm doing the right thing or not. So I thought to check that.
You can just buy a book called Beginner's Guide to Krishna Consciousness. And that will really help you.
Okay.
I think it's by Bhakti Vikas Maharaj.
Okay.
The He'll other give question. You minute guidance on how to put tilak, how to offer bhoga, everything.
Is this available on online, madam? Or?
Yeah, yes, it's available.
What is the book name?
Beginner's Guide to Krishna Consciousness.
Beginner's Guide to Krishna Consciousness. Okay. The other doubt I had, maybe just I was also watching and listening to other videos and other thing on the spiritual thing, apart from your videos also, though I could not attend some of online, but offline I used to, you said, often. Understand that the ultimate goal are between the mukti and bhakti, like the bhakti is considered to be the ultimate, yeah, or our soul should carve for the bhakti, that love of the God. So if that is the case, like this human soul in this life, if it is in the process of always toward loving to the God, why one should really, or the soul should worry about the next life or the next place, whether she will be in Golok, Vrindavan, or whatever lok, why it should be a matter when the soul consciousness is always towards to the this thing. Yeah,
because it does not matter. Yeah. It does not matter where we go. What matters is wherever we go, if we are able to remember Krishna and if we are in consciousness of Krishna and we are doing bhakti, it doesn't matter where one goes.
Okay, because sometimes I get lost by people, you know, or some people saying, no, one should.
Only thing is that the places apart from Goloka Vrindavan, if you are talking about something like heaven and all, they may not facilitate our Krishna consciousness in a proper way. So we are looking for places that will facilitate our Krishna consciousness. At the same time, if you see the bhajans where the devotees are, Bhakti Vinod Thakur says that, what is that bhajan? Bahirmukha Brahma Janme Nahi As, Kita Janma Hoye Jatha Tu Adas. So devotees are actually not asking that I want to go to Goloka Vrindavan only. They just want to be with Krishna. And Krishna is easily accessible there in Goloka Vrindavan. So they want to go there. That's their destination. But at the same time, devotee is happy everywhere if he's able to be in constant remembrance of the Lord. So even if he's born as an insect, but he's able to remember Lord and he's in association of devotees, so he's happy. So the whole point is to somehow or the other have Krishna in our consciousness and be in consciousness of Krishna.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Sumitra Vasu Mataji. Hare Krishna Mataji, this is Sumitra from Columbus. Very nice to see you after a long time. Thank you very much. This was a wonderful lecture. Although we all grew up with stories from the Ramayana, it's amazing how fresh they always are. And your realizations were very thought-provoking. Thank you. This is the first time I had heard about Janaka Maharaj mediating between Bharat and Ram. That was very sweet. The point that you made about when we think about leadership, we need to take responsibilities and not think about privileges was something that resonated with me a lot. Nowadays in modern management circles, the word servant leadership is a buzzword. Everyone keeps talking about it. But every devotee's life is an example of servant leadership. So I was wondering if you could elaborate on that point. Any seva we do, we might be a leader in that little circle, whatever seva we are doing. How can we maintain that mood of responsibility, but without privileges, expecting privileges? Thank you.
How can we be in the mood of servant leadership? I mean, like a good teacher is one who is always a student. So good leader is one who is also a follower. That means the leader should have another leader on his top and that leader should have another leader on the top. And if he's always well connected to Guru Parampara and is always in that consciousness and that he's also answerable to somebody, then that mood comes naturally. And see, the whole thing is when Srila Prabhupada is a natural reader, Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee. So when he was dealing with people, he didn't have to artificially tried to get into that mood. He had that natural compassion for everybody and he wanted to help. When it comes to us, neither we are qualified, neither we have such compassion. What we are simply doing is we're just taking the message from Prabhupada and then giving it to others and working like a postman. So the more we are reading scriptures and doing our sadhana properly, we can maintain that mood and you know, we'll not get into that mood of proprietorship. If we know how great is Krishna, and if then we can understand how small we are. But the moment our sadhana goes down and we don't read scriptures, then we, start thinking ourselves big. Like I many times give this example, when I was young, we went to see Taj Mahal. So this photographer asked us to pose in front of Taj Mahal and he asked us as little school-going girls, me and my sister, to keep our hand like this. And then he made it in such a way that we could feel that the Taj Mahal is just inside our two fingers. And I still have that photo. So from far off, when we had all these pictures and all, it was very nice. But as we went closer and we closer and closer and we walked up to Taj Mahal, I saw it's pretty big. It's not so small as I was, you know, thinking it to be. So it's like that, that mood that we are great or something comes only because we are far from Krishna. But the moment we go more closer and more closer and more closer, the more humble we feel and the more, you know, servant attitude comes to us because we really understand how insignificant we are. So to be in that mood of servant, dasa, dasa, anudasa, is to understand how great Krishna is and to be constantly in touch with scriptures and constantly in touch with the chanting. And then, because when we read scriptures, we understand that we don't understand so many things. So that, and if we don't read, then we think we know everything. But the more we read, the more we understand that we haven't understood what is to be understood. You know, that keeps us in a humble frame of mind. And of course, so many things can be said about it. When introspection helps, self-introspection, journal writing helps. So that where we write what are our faults, you know, where are we going wrong, what are the mistakes we are committing. And then, of course, if we have certain short-term goals that we keep writing, this is what where I want to go. This is what I want to achieve. These are my issues which I'm facing currently in my with my anarthas, and this is where I plan to go. So if we are constantly in consciousness and, you know, we are consciously growing and understanding where we are lacking, what we have to do, then when we deal with others, there is no way we will get ego, because even though we are guiding and helping others, we know where we stand and what's our report card also. And the safest thing would be to have a mentor above us, and if that goes. But sometimes in practically some situations, it's not possible. Maybe you are a servant leader somewhere, and then the person who is above you may be too far off or maybe not able to get regular communication. So yeah, certain such situations come out. But we should always look out for some senior and hold on, you know. That helps a lot to be in the right mood. I see another two more hands, so I'll not elaborate anymore. And I'll try to take this very quickly.
Thank you, Bhavish.
Yes.
Varsha Mataji, go ahead. Varsha Mataji.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Mataji. Mataji, my question is, you're talking about like Krishna's mercy. So like while doing 16 rounds, like I feel like I'm doing as a mechanical. And like, I don't know when I will be attentive. Is that the Krishna's mercy to be there, to be attentive chanting? I'm just doing every day, but I feel like it's just mechanical. My mind is everywhere.
Yeah, even if it's mechanical, we keep doing it and we'll keep doing it. And maybe one fine day. See, actually, it's not about 16 rounds. It's about even one name of Krishna can give us Krishna. That's the power of the holy name. But to get that one name right, we need to keep doing. So out of all that mechanical rounds we are and ritualistic rounds that we are chanting, someday the pure name will come out. So if we keep doing it, actually a lot of processes happening in the background, which we may not be externally aware, but a lot of things are happening. The more we are chanting and chanting, so many of our previous karmas are getting washed off. We are getting purified. So many things are happening in the background, which we cannot understand now, but over a period of time, we'll see the difference. So we need to keep doing it. This is the prescribed round Srila Prabhupada has very mercifully given us, whereas the standard is very high. We're supposed to do 192 or 64 at least, or at least 32. But Srila Prabhupada has very kindly given us. So whether we, even if we feel it mechanical, we should continue because, see, like those Chinese bamboos, you know, they don't grow. You keep watering and you keep watering for years together. You don't even see if anything has sprouted. But suddenly one day you will see it has come off 8 feet, 10 feet, 15 feet within 15 days or 1 month. So our bhakti is also like that only, like those Chinese bamboos. We feel, Arey, I'm doing, but it's becoming mechanical. I'm not getting any bhava, rasa. Nothing is going on. If you may feel nothing is going on, but actually something is going on. The seed is already planted and the process is happening. And very soon we will see it will sprout and the tree will come out and the flowers and fruits will come out. Just need to be patient.
Thank you, Mataji.
Do you have time, Mataji?
How many more? Two more?
Two more.
I'll answer in one line. Yeah.
Okay. Ayush Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. If we can't proceed in bhakti without approaching Guru Maharaj, then what about those who are unable to approach a Guru Maharaj due to any circumstance?
Due to circumstance, we can continue chanting and Krishna will send the Guru. We can continue chanting and Krishna will send the Guru. We can just keep that attitude in our heart and we can continue and Krishna will send. Yes, next question. Shobha Mai Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam. Mataji, I really listened to your lectures. All of them are so very interesting and so much satisfying. I'm a fan of yours too. And I always wanted to be in the Zoom group. So I really tried very hard. And I will not waste your time, Mataji. Just a small question. Since I got my initiation, and I have been into Krishna consciousness, I am facing many challenges. In the house itself, we have half of them are devotees and half are non-devotees. So, Mataji, how do we face all these challenges and how can we try to make them vegetarian? Like, some of them are non-vegetarian. So, I had asked Prabhuji also, my Shiksha Guruji. So he was not able to explain me actually. I think family matters are supposed to be solved by ourselves, Mataji.
No, it's not like that. It's just that you know your family better, you know your situation better. So in any class, we can talk about general principles, what to do, but you'll have to deal it on the ground level. And all said and done, as far as they're not raising any objection and disturbing you, we can continue to be, you know, increase our Krishna consciousness, become more stronger, and very slowly and subtly help them. Like, you know, like we say, or this example always, that we have to keep our oxygen mask first and then help the co-passengers. So we just have to make sure that our oxygen mask is proper, fit, and we are doing well in our sadhana. And slowly, if they see we are doing well, and if they see visible change in our behavior, then they will also get liking towards Krishna consciousness. If we are doing nice and we behave them with them courteously and we have good Krishna conscious behavior, that is also a very big inspiration. Preaching is not always about talking. Sometimes preaching is just being you. If you are a right person and you are a nice devotee, and you just being you also will inspire people when they see you, when they see how you talk, how you walk, how you eat, how you take bath in the morning, how you chant, how you behave so nicely with others, how you have all these Vaishnava qualities. That itself is such a big preaching. Even if you don't talk anything, just by being you, they will be inspired. When they see such sattvic behavior, they'll feel, oh, it's so nice. When they see your anger has come down, when they see, you know, how all your anarthas have come down, that will also inspire. So that way we can preach by improving ourselves. And then there's also preaching where we talk. There's also preaching by giving gifts. There's also preaching by praying for them. If we can't do anything, we can simply pray for them. There's also preaching by giving prasadam. Even if they don't understand, whatever you are cooking, you offer it and then you give it to them or give them some gifts. So like that, there is so many ways you can do. Preaching is not only about giving them a Bhagavatam class. There is so many ways you can preach to them or take them sometime to the temple or just, you know, everybody needs a different level. Some people are on LKG, somebody is in UKG, somebody is in grade 1, grade 8, grade 10. According to that, we have to deal. You know, some people may be grossly very sinful and aggressive and atheistic and, you know, difficult to deal. But some people may be just, you know, normal, pious. They just need a little more pushing. So it depends upon what you are, you know, dealing with. You have to deal accordingly. And I think your local mentor or counselor who knows your family very well, who knows what family members you are talking about, they'll guide you in a customized way. How do you deal with your daughter or mother or sister-in-law or mother-in-law? So that way they'll be able to help you better. You know, and then slowly you can take a guidance and try to help yourself and help your family members. Okay, that's it. I think we are done with all the questions.
Yes, Mataji, thank you so much. Very, very wonderful katha, you know. It's like, you know, setting a mood of Ram Navami, and it's very wonderful to hear from you. It's amazing katha. Without your katha, it's so incomplete. So thank you so much for your time and association. Mataji was so busy, but still you came and talked for us. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Shyam Gauri Mataji. Thank you so much. Thank you, all the devotees in the forum. Vancha Kalpataru Bhayas Chikrupa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavan.